Heavenly Father, it's all about You. That's what we pray for right now, Lord, that it's all about You. Father, that You will hide me behind the cross. And that as we continue to worship, and now we worship in the Word, that You'll speak through me and open our ears that we might hear. Amen. Dan, come here a minute. Let you hold that just a second. And Brett, I need you for just a second. You're going, but that's next week. Well, you'll see. All right, Robbie, if you'll bring it up. Won't you stand with me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Stop. One nation. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Are we really? You may be seated. You can put the flags back if you will. This morning I begin a series, God and God Alone. And we're going to look at one nation. You see, if we look at America today, we're a nation, but we're a deeply divided one. And there are all kind of arguments and things going on, and yet it is important for you and I to realize that America is not now. Nor has it ever been fully a Christian nation. Now, there'll be some people that will argue with me about that. We've never been a Christian nation fully. Now, we were founded on Christian principles, and we've gotten away from those. So, for us to say that we're one nation under God, most people would ask nowadays, which God? It's important that you also realize that as Americans, we're not God's chosen people for the second time. We sometimes act like it. In John 3:16, for God so loved what? America? The world. But as Christians, as believers, you are a part of a special nation. And I'm not talking about America. We're not talking about America right now. We're not just American citizens. If you will look in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that you and I are a part of a different nation. We're going to read through 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is Christ, a new creature, the old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You ready? Now, all these things in verse 18 are from God, who reconciled us and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Robbie, I didn't give you that one. I apologize. I really need verse 20 more than anything else. I want you to look at that. Let's read verse 19. Namely, that God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against Him. Therefore, what does it say, folks? We are what? In verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, when this is written, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church. He says, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That means we're supposed to take the message of the gospel to the world. Not just me. Not just a few. We are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador, Will? An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat. The highest ranking diplomat sent by a place, a country, a nation to another nation to represent that nation. And Paul says here that we are ambassadors, not of the U.S., not of North Carolina, not of England or somewhere else. We're ambassadors for Christ. We were called. We are living in America. We were born here. But we're not one nation under God anymore. We've never fully been there, but we're not one nation under God anymore. But I want to tell you, as a believer, that doesn't bother me because I have a dual citizenship. And it's not in Canada. In fact, I need to stop for a few minutes. All those folks that if Donald wins, you're going to move to Canada, and Hillary wins, you're going to move to Mexico because you'll be safer in Mexico if Hillary wins than you will if Donald does. Oh, come on, that's funny. You know that's true. For all of you that are going to do that, you know what I want to say to you? Go on. Go on. Because we still live in the best nation on earth. But that's not what we're about here. We are not ambassadors for America and for the American system. We are ambassadors for Christ. And I want you to repeat that with me. I want you to repeat, I am an ambassador for Christ and His kingdom. That means you, not just me, are an ambassador for Christ, for the kingdom of heaven here on earth. John 15, verse 6 tells us something very, very important. John 15, verse 6. Even if it's going to come up on the screen, if you have your Bible, turn there anyway. I want you to be able to keep using your Bible. John 15, verse 6. We learn something about what it means to be chosen as an ambassador. And if 15 will ever get it, I want to make sure I turn in my Bible. And I didn't do that one right. Okay. I messed up that scripture, Robbie. Ignore that one. Take that one down. I want to tell you something. I just got to stop here in the middle of that sermon. That extra hour of preparation last night's killing me. Honest to God, truth. My chairman of the deacons when I was at First Baptist Roseboro, Mr. Quentin reminded me a lot of Ronald and people like him. Could build anything. Unlike Ronald, Mr. Quentin was as square when he was working as a day was long. Nobody got around him. Nobody, even the boss. Mr. Quentin is working in a lady's house one day. Alan knows who I'm talking about, Quentin Williams. And Mr. Quentin says a lady comes to him. He's doing mahogany bookcases and crown molding for her. If you can imagine doing them, you know, he said, one of those blue-haired ladies. She walks up to him and she says, I want to tell you something, Mr. Quentin. I'm mad with the president and the whole country. Said, what? Walks over to her drapes, pulls them back and shows him, said, that extra hour of daylight from daylight savings time has faded my drapes. Well, I feel about that confused this morning on that John passage right now. As ambassadors for Christ, we are told, number one, you are appointed. You're appointed. You are called of God. Not just me, you. You are to represent Christ in this nation or wherever you go. We think, no, I'm just a church member. I'm just a believer. I've got my ticket punched by the King. Nothing further could be wrong than that. You are an ambassador. And as Christian ambassadors, I run into Christian ambassadors during the week or I listen to them. I'm ambidextrous. I can hear with this ear, different conversations and gossip at the same time. Amen. I'm good. Sit in a restaurant and listen to folks talking about politics. Any of you in the last few months argued about politics? Oh, come on. Don't let you'll go to hell for lying now, okay? Politics. As ambassadors for Christ, we're to argue our political point of view. Is that what it says? No. We're to represent Christ. As ambassadors, we are to run the church. You know, that's my job. I run the church. I don't mean the preacher. As ambassadors for Christ, we're to point out to society how bad the sinners are. Any of y'all know some bad? I know some bad sinners. I do. As ambassadors, we are to carry the gospel, the good news of Christ, to the world. Now, I want you to understand this. Every day you get up, whether you're retired, you're going to school, you're going to work, whatever you do, every day when you get up as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We are one people under the banner, not of that flag, though I hold dear to that flag and will fight for that flag. And if you burn it, I don't care if the Supreme Court says it's okay. We're going to have a fight for you to do it. All right? Amen? But we are under that banner as ambassadors. We are to represent Christ. Now there are people that say, hold on, preacher, that's your job. No, it's not. That's not my job. As a Christian, it is my job, but that's not what God called us to do or me to do. Most believers don't understand that. Do you realize that ambassadors aren't elected? You're not elected. You're not elected as an ambassador of Holloway's Baptist Church. You were chosen of God. You're appointed by God. And you may not believe it, you are a people of a holy nation. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10. I want you to look at this. This is probably the most Baptist, the most Christian passage in all of the Bible when it comes to Baptists. It is known as the priesthood of the believers. A fellow by the name of Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther, the great Protestant Reformation guy, the one that helped really bring us out of the one church of Catholicism into Martin Luther had the idea of he discovered and helped us discover what's known as what is the priesthood of the believers. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy what? Come up, wake up. We're going to be here till 12:30 if you don't wake up. A holy what? You are a holy, you're a part of a holy nation. He's writing to the church. A people for God's own possession so that you may what? Argue politics? Point out sinners? No, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people. You were lost in your sin. But now you're the people of God. You had not received mercy, but you've received mercy now. That says that we aren't elected by the congregation or by the nation. We are chosen of God and we are to represent Him. You represent Christ. And let me tell you what we need to be doing, and it's the reason that a lot of our churches are empty. A lot of our churches are empty, one, because most of what we do is irrelevant. We do worship our way, we do Sunday school our way, we do youth our way, we do children our way, and they're not coming and we just don't understand. What happens when a store quits selling what you want? It does what? You go somewhere else. As ambassadors for Christ, we are to represent Christ. We are to live a Christ-like life. That's what I wanted you to hear. When you go out into the world today, you are the only Jesus some people are going to see. I don't know about you, that scares the bejesus out of me. In a restaurant the other day, the lady knows I'm a pastor, and I was messing with her. And I said, I don't have to pay tonight. She said, why? And you've heard me tell this before. I said, I'm just a poor preacher. She said, excuse me, we weren't talking about you preaching. You're going to pay. And we just got to talking in general, and she started talking about the Sunday lunch crowd. You don't want to know what she had to say. She don't like you people. They'll come from praising the Lord or jumping the pew or and said they will fuss about the chicken's too greasy or the green beans are too cold or the slaw is white instead of barbecue or said they've just come out of praising the Lord. She said, do you realize that on Sunday morning some of my girls said, I know the Lord. I choose to run the restaurant. I have my relationship with him. He said, do you realize that my girls and my guys, that the only Jesus they see is that nasty bunch of people that leave 10 cent for a tip? But they love Jesus. Every day, when you stand there in the line at Walmart on Black Friday and you try to get your 42-inch TV for $132, and they sell out before you get there, and you tell off the manager and everybody else, please put on your Sunday school pins and your I Love Jesus shirt while you do it. Amen. I wanted to remind you
as God has reminded me, as ambassadors for Christ, we don't represent ourselves. You represent Him. You represent Him every single day. Now it says in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 6, if you'll turn there with me, and we're going to close. I'm reminding you again, and I'm reminding me, that we represent Him. In fact, I just have to share with you a little story. I know I tell too many stories on Rose, but this is a good story. This is a story on me. Rose and I have moved into our new house over in Thomasville, and we have beautiful front porch, just a gorgeous house. But the bushes, you know, I don't like it when your bushes get up so high and you're sitting on the porch. I can't see through the bushes, so we're going to tear the bushes out. I borrow a friend's truck and a log chain. And I'm going to pull those. Listen, I didn't know that boxwoods had a root that were 78 miles deep, okay? Well, we've pulled the bushes, and we got it packed on the front of that beautiful neighborhood, and they couldn't believe I was in the neighborhood, okay? Kind of a boma, and a boma is what you have in Africa to keep the lines out. We got all that stacked up. Well, Rose is backing the truck up. We're pulling one of the last bushes. She's driving the truck because she's better at it. She's got to get a running start and go. I've got the log chain, and I wrap it around the bush. She takes off. It comes loose. I'll do this real quickly. Well, I say, stop, pull up a little. All right, now back up. And I get the log chain on me. And I'm fussing at her. I put the log chain over my shoulder so I could get it right to get it back around the bush. What did my wife think I did? Go! She takes off with the truck. I'm holding the log chain. It drags me through the mud, across the brick sidewalk. Why? Because I'm too stupid to let go of the chain. Into some of the bushes. She gets out of the truck. Folks, if you've ever seen the scene from Gomer Pyle when Gomer was trying to get the sergeant to explode, there was a bet. They were messing with Gomer and break his sword. And the sergeant just... He can't, if he explodes, he's going to lose a $500 bet. So he gets in his truck and drives out to the, you know, just goes crazy. I jump up. I'm getting ready to have a slack fit. I'm going to tell somebody what it's all about. I'm covered with stuff you don't want to be covered with. I'm scraped up. And she gets out of the truck. What'd you tell him? The jerking of the bush made her neck hurt. And before she goes inside, I mean, there is steam coming out of my ears. The Lord hears me saying some things I probably shouldn't, and I haven't said them yet. And she points at me. Husbands, even if she isn't ever around anymore, your wife ever point at you? You go, what's the point to this? You'll get it now. Remember who you are and whose you are. I mean, I'm going to tell the whole neighborhood what I think of my wife dragging me across it. And she turns around and does it. Remember who you are and whose you are. And walks in the house. What does that have to do with all this? Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I implore you to walk in a manner, it says in verse 1, worthy of the calling with which you've been called. I want to stop right there, regardless of the circumstances. And it was hard, but I had to remember who I was. I did. You're going to go out into a world in just a few minutes. You're going to be dealing with some fellow church members. Some of them may drive you nuts. You may have people at work tomorrow that drive you nuts. Remember who you are and whose you are. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with... What have I been called to do? I am called as an ambassador of Christ. And I am to act, as it says in verse 2, with humility, gentleness, and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Folks, she is alive today because I did those things. There is one body and one spirit, Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, through all, and in all. It is in the Gospel of John that we're told, and not 1 John, that we're told where we used to be. I'm not even going to read them, Robbie. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now I'm an ambassador. You're going to go out into a world. And in the next, I don't know how long to the election, I don't care as far as ours, it's going to get crazy. And the devil's going to give you the opportunity to blast somebody or someone. Now, I got news for you. I already told you what I thought of Hillary and Donald earlier, a couple of weeks back. Probably wasn't the best thing to say. Remember who you are and whose you are. And then I want to close with this. When we come back next Sunday, the election will be over. But the fight will have begun. If it's Donald Trump, a bunch of us going to come in here. Every Democrat in America is going to be mad, including the Christian ones. If it happens to be Hillary, all the Republicans are going to be mad. And it's just going to be one big fight from now on. That makes me sad, but let me give you some hope this morning. God is still in control. After the election, God's still in control. He is. He already knows who's going to win. He won't tell me, but, you know. God is in control. And we, every day we get up, represent Christ. And as we close our service, offering to those that might know Him the opportunity to know Him, as we come at a time of invitation and we're reminded we are Christians and they will know we are Christians. What? By our politics? By our theology? By our hate speech? No, they will know we are Christians by our love. By our love for one another. Does that mean we like each other all the time? No. Do I like Hillary Clinton? No. Do I like Donald Trump? No. Do I like some of the rest of them? No. But the Bible says I have to love them. And after the election, it says we have to pray for them. And folks, I want to tell you something. After this election, regardless, the governor, the city council, the whatever else, we better pray like we've never prayed before. Next week, we will come together. We'll come together as one nation, regardless of your political affiliation. We will come together as one nation, as ambassadors for Christ. And we'll look, how can we exist? How can we, as a holy people, as a godly people, how can we make it in a society that is getting worse and worse? Do we retreat into our shells like a turtle? What do we do? We're going to look at that next week. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. The third week, we're going to look at indivisible. What does it mean to be indivisible? Not as Americans, but as believers. And liberty and justice for all at Thanksgiving, or right after the Thanksgiving time. Remember, if you're going to the restaurant, you're the only Jesus they're going to see. If you're going to work, you may be the only Jesus they encounter. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is so hard at times, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father and precious Holy Spirit, it is so hard not to be human because I am human and we are human and we slip up. And when we slip up, Lord, forgive us. We're not going to be perfect Christians. We're not always going to do it right, but God, help us to know that we represent Your Son every single day. And regardless of what happens to America, because nobody fully knows, though prophecy points to some things that wouldn't encourage us a whole lot, but regardless of what happens to our nation, we are a part of a holy nation. We are a chosen people. And we represent
your Son, our Savior, our Lord. And in the end, we're going to be okay. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as Lord, I pray you speak to their heart and they'll come to know you today. For those of us that are believers, that we'll remember that our politics come and go, but our call to be ambassadors never does. Amen.